Would you please turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We begin a new journey today. Our theme for this year is quality control in the Christian life. How did I come up with that? Well, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, it tells us that the first thing we should add to our faith is virtue. And one of the ways that you can define virtue is a commitment to excellence. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10 says that ye may approve things that are excellent. That is, recognize as genuine and deem worthy of our acceptance things that are excellent. That ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. With that, our journey is going to take us through the book of 2 Corinthians this year as we pursue those virtues of excellence. From beginning to end, the book of 2 Corinthians will serve as a manual for developing quality control in our Christian lives as we examine virtues of excellence and learn how to approve things that are excellent. And we begin today with the comfort of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all of the things that you are, all of the things that you have done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of the things you continue to do for us day by day. As we focus in on this one particular thing, we thank you that your comfort is excellent. And it can help control some things in our lives if we will submit to your comfort. Teach us what that comfort is and how it works and how we can submit to it and benefit from it in this lesson today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many things in life that make us uncomfortable. Health concerns, financial concerns, relationship matters, anybody ever been uncomfortable because of car trouble? Violence, criticism, being called names, verbal abuse, physical abuse. There are all kinds of things in life that make us uncomfortable. God is able to console us in each and every one of those situations with his comfort. And that's what we want to look at today. He begins the letter by telling us who is sending the letter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. It appears that Paul did not literally write down on paper all of his letters. There are a few places where he indicates that he actually wrote something down on paper, but most often he would use someone else. As God gave him revelation, he would then dictate that to another person, probably in this case Timothy, and that's why Timothy is included in the address. And Timothy then would write it down on paper, and the Holy Spirit then would guarantee that whatever was written down was exactly what God had revealed to the Apostle Paul. This is the process of inspiration. The recipients are twofold. On the one hand, the church of God, which is in Corinth, a specific local church, but then he also says, and with all the saints which are in all Achaia, that Achaia was the name of the country of Greece, what is today the country of Greece. But by saying all of the saints in the general region, it indicates to us that this letter has a broader application than just to one local church. It applies to us. He extends the prayer that he typically does in his letters, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He then addresses God, the God of all comfort, he calls him. But first he says in verse 3, blessed be God. He is worthy to be blessed. That is, he is worthy to be blessed by our praise. And he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is God the Father. He is the one who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He tells us in verse 3 of two particular attributes of God. He is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. As the Father of mercies, he tells us God is the one from whom all mercy originates, real mercy. And as the God of all comfort, God is the one and the only one really who can truly comfort us in every uncomfortable situation in life. And so he personalizes it in verse 4 and says, who comforteth us? God personally comforts us. Now, in verse 5, you will notice the word consolation. He uses in the text the word consolation as a definition for the word comfort. If you would look up the words comfort and consolation, you would find that both of them have exactly the same Strong's number. They come from exactly the same word in the original text. Comfort and consolation. Consolation is a definition for the word comfort. What is comfort, consolation? It means to alleviate misery, to alleviate distress of mind, and to grant courage in the face of all kinds of things that make us uncomfortable. To alleviate misery expresses the alleviation of the emotions that we experience in the midst of discomfort. And alleviating distress of mind addresses the thoughts. Kind of goes along with Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, where it says, the peace of God which passes understanding shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The heart, in that case, being the seat of our emotions, and our mind, the seat of our thoughts. Emotions and thoughts. That's where we become uncomfortable in circumstances in life. Our thoughts will run wild with all kinds of scenarios. Have you ever had that situation where you begin to run through your mind what might happen as a result of what you think is going on in your life? And you sometimes have trouble going to sleep at night because your mind is running all of these scenarios through your mind, or you're having difficulty with another person and you imagine all kinds of conversations with that individual. Have you ever done that? Thoughts and emotions, they can run wild. It causes a great deal of anxiety. But the comfort of God, God's consolation, alleviates that misery, alleviates those running thoughts, and grants us courage to eliminate fear and give us the ability to deal with whatever comes. So he says in verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. That, he has a purpose. He has a purpose in comforting us, and that purpose doesn't end with us. It is so that he might use us to extend his comfort to someone else. That, he says in verse 4, we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. Our own comfort is not God's ultimate purpose in comforting us. The comfort he extends to us, he intends for us to pass on to others. In fact, often is the case, one believer becomes the instrument of God's comfort in another person's life. Now, perhaps you've heard that phrase, pay it forward. It's sort of like if someone opens a door for you, then you open a door for someone else. If someone grants you a favor, you extend that same favor to somebody else, paying it forward. Well, that's the idea here. If God has comforted you in a particular experience of your life, he intends for you then to show others who are going through the same thing how they can have the same comfort you experienced. Now, he says he comforts us in all our tribulation. And that covers a wide range of experiences. In the text, he's going to particularly deal with our experiences of being uncomfortable because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Being persecuted, harassed, criticized, suffering for the cause of Christ. But the principles that we're going to talk about in light of that apply to any kind of circumstance for a believer in whatever circumstance, whatever tribulation you may be going through, because he says he comforts us in all our tribulation. But in verse 5, he says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us." Now, that does not suggest that by the sufferings of Christ abounding in us that we must hang on a cross like Christ did. Rather, what it's suggesting is that there may be times we will suffer because of our identity with Jesus Christ. We may suffer simply because we are Christians and proclaim our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This may be as simple as a misfortune or as complex as a real calamity. In other words, it may be as simple as a criticism, somebody calling you a name, or as complex as a physical attack. Somebody may call you a bigot because you're a Christian, or someone may burn down your house. It encompasses the entire spectrum of what we may suffer because we are in Christ, and thereby the sufferings of Christ abound in us. We'll come back to the rest of verse 5, but go to verse 6 at the beginning of verse 6, and it says, "And whether we be afflicted." Now, when it says in verse 5, "the sufferings of Christ abound," that's referring to the actual experience of the suffering. But the word "afflicted" here is this matter of the stress that accompanies that experience. The word "afflicted" means to be placed under pressure. This is the misery part. The stress. Stress is a real thing. Anybody ever experienced stress in your life? I mean, stress. Whew. Stress that continues without relief can lead to a condition called distress. Distress is a negative stress reaction in your life. Distress, they tell us, can disturb the body's internal balance or equilibrium, leading to physical symptoms such as headaches, upset stomach, elevated blood pressure, chest pains, problems sleeping, and it can also lead to emotional problems such as depression, or anxiety, or worry. Being called names or publicly being criticized as a Christian can cause distress. It can. Especially if it persists and it's constant. Being physically attacked for your faith in Christ can cause distress. It is in any and all of these situations that God can alleviate misery, alleviate distress of mind, and grant us courage to face all our tribulations. This is what God does to comfort us. So he says in verse 7, our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so ye shall be also of the consolation. Okay, we are partakers of the sufferings. The sufferings of Christ abound in us, and we be afflicted as a result of that. So go back to verse 5, where it says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. The sufferings abound in us, but the consolation abounds by Christ. Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, is the direct source of our consolation. He is the one who personally can relieve us of emotional difficulties, running problematic thoughts, worry, internal anxiety, and grant to us the courage to face whatever is troubling us. Our consolation also comes by Jesus Christ through the experience of others. As he says in verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And verse 6, whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Our personal experience is not for our sake alone. You might say our personal experience is kind of like on-the-job training. When he allows us to go through things that make us uncomfortable, he is preparing us to be his servants, to help someone else. Has anyone here been called a bad name because of your faith in Christ? Anyone ever had that experience? Nobody? Yeah? You? Okay. My wife, Mrs. Bussey. If that ever happens to you, these are the ladies that can help you because they've been through it. That's the idea. Hopefully none of you have ever been physically abused because of your faith. I wasn't actually physically abused, but I was nearly attacked. All the way back when I was in college, one of the earlier years of my college days, between college years in the summertime, I worked for some bricklayers, some masons, that kind of masons. And we were in the process of building some of these townhouse units. And my job was to carry the block and mix the mortar and those kinds of things. There were a couple of fellas that had been in my class in high school that were not nice fellas. And of course, they knew about my Christian faith and all of that. And so they decided to have some fun with me. And there was a particular man that was very large. I mean, he was about this tall and about this broad. He wasn't obese. I mean, he was a giant of a man, and he was strong. And they went and told this man that I said some very nasty things about him, which I didn't say. And down in the foundation where the walls were about 8 feet tall, he cornered me in a corner and was just about ready to have his way with me. That was stressful. In the midst of that situation, in spite of myself, God gave me the courage and the words to say to convince him that I hadn't said those things and diffuse the situation. But without the consolation of God, I could have been in trouble. If you ever have an experience like that, I can help you because I was there. We have this hope, he says in verse 7. Our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Every misery God will relieve. It's not the same to say that there won't be misery. There will be sufferings, but the sufferings will always be followed by consolation. Every troubling thought of our mind can be refreshed. And in every uncomfortable situation, God can grant courage to face it. So Paul gives a personal testimony about this, beginning in verse 8. And he says in verse 8, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Paul had an experience in which he thought he was actually going to die. He says in verse 9, "We had the sentence of death in ourselves." But how did he react? You know, that's an important question for each of us. When we face circumstances in life that make us uncomfortable, how are we going to react to those circumstances? How did he react? He says, we should not trust in ourselves. He recognized there wasn't anything he could do himself to get himself out of that situation. Do you know it's okay to say to God, I can't do this? That's really okay. In fact, He loves to hear that because you know what comes right after that when we say, I can't do this? We say, God, I need your help. That's exactly what he wants to hear. He doesn't want to hear us say, don't worry, God, I got this. We need to recognize our dependence upon him. When we try to take matters into our own hands, don't think we need God's help, we can take care of this, we're probably only going to mess things up and make them worse. He says we didn't trust in ourselves. Who did we trust in? Verse 9. But in God which raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. What did he say? I just thought of something that God is able to do. God is able to raise the dead. Now, how difficult is that? Can any of you do that? That's a hard thing to do, as far as we're concerned, but not as far as God is concerned. God can raise the dead. Well, if he can do that, can he do everything less than that? Can he help me through whatever circumstance I'm dealing with? Absolutely. And so he depended upon God. But Paul then also recognizes the value of the intercession of others, where in verse 11 he says, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Did you know that just knowing that other people are praying for you is a means by which God comforts us? How many of you have been helped by that? Knowing that somebody has been praying for you. Absolutely. Because that means that a lot of people, other people, are interceding for you and talking directly to God about your circumstances. And God listens. God listens to the prayers of his people and takes those prayers into consideration as he arranges the consolation for people who are going through difficulties. So he trusted in God, knowing that if God can do the ultimate thing of raising people from the dead, he can handle everything less than that. But he was comforted by the fact that many people were praying for him. And he was consoled by the fact that when God brought him through that circumstance and relieved him of the entire experience, that many people then would be giving thanks to God for what he had done. There's not much quality of life when you're uncomfortable. Without consolation, without comfort, without relief from trouble, there just isn't much quality of life. But God is the God of all comfort. And he wants us to have quality of life. Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that you might have it how? More abundantly. He wants you to have quality of life as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes he personally intervenes and directly consoles us in the midst of our circumstances. Sometimes God uses other people and the experience of other people to assist us in knowing how to deal with a situation and bring comfort to us. Either way, God's comfort and consolation is one element of quality control in our Christian lives. Philippians chapter 1 verse 10, again, remember this, that ye may approve things that are excellent. And God's comfort is one of those excellent things that we need to recognize and accept into our lives. As Paul said in verse 9, God can raise the dead. What you are going through right now in your life, what trouble you have gone through, or whatever trouble you may go through as a living Christian on this earth, is less than that. And if God can raise the dead, he can help you in your trouble. But let me ask you this. Has God ever comforted you in an uncomfortable situation? Has God ever brought consolation into your life for any kind of a circumstance in your life? Has God ever consoled you? Then will you be his servant and be ready to console others with the comfort whereby God comforted you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your comfort, for your consolation, for relief from emotional distress, relief from mental distress, for courage to deal with the circumstances of life. Thank you for your personal involvement, and thank you for the involvement of others, the use of others in our lives who've gone through the same thing. Help us to appropriate what you offer. Help us to accept the consolation you want to bring into our lives. Help us to rest in the God of all comfort. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.